Anyway. I'm not sure what we're going to do. I'm going to do. This is your workshop as well as mine, so if you have questions or requests, go ahead. There's one right there. Okay. The question is about describe the process that where the music changed when it came from Ireland to the U.S. and developed here. I think that the music, as it was in this country, it was in that country, it was kind of localized much more before radio, before records were popular. And like it did here, it changed real fast with those two things. I think it changed much more quickly here in this country because there was more, I don't know, it was just more industrialization. Ireland's a very poor country until recently, and actually the cream of the iconic fiddlers and instrumentalists in Irish music and singers as well that we think of today, most of them recorded in New York and Chicago in the 1920s and 30s. People like Michael Coleman, names like that, and the Flanagan brothers, James Morrison, some of those people, and the Pipers. It was a big center in New York and Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, and the record labels were recording these people, and then those records made it back to Ireland. And Michael Coleman was one of the hot dogs that played the fiddle, and all of a sudden his music was all over Ireland, and he was really originally from a small town in Sligo called Gertine. And once his records came out, everybody was in Ireland that could afford a phonograph, and the records were buying these records, and he was popular all over Ireland, and the style became more popular. And that was the beginning of sort of regional styles starting to branch out into other areas because it was on the radio and on the records, especially on the records there. Anyway, in this country, the same thing happened with records and that kind of thing. Every fiddler wanted to play Cacklin Hen. Every fiddler wanted to play Orange Blossom Special. That was where the money was, you know? And so it kind of drove that stuff. The Grand Ole Opry, the WLS Barn Dance, these big Saturday night radio shows, and the station that played them, which was, they were very strong stations, particularly late at night after sun went down, after 7 o'clock. When the other stations went off the air, then all these people could hear this music that was, people were going to the big city to play country music, and then they would broadcast it all over the country. And so, particularly on the Grand Ole Opry, there's a guy named Arthur Smith. There's sort of a before and after Arthur Smith. And after Arthur Smith, sort of more modern, kind of little slightly like a longer bow style kind of came forward and became the main way to play the fiddle in country music here. And what we call old time music now is kind of anti Arthur Smith, a lot of it. They kind of want to play the music that predates that. And I'm not sure where those arguments ever get resolved about what is really old time music, what's really Irish music, and that kind of thing. But I think, you know, maybe the music was similar when it arrived in the U.S. and as it was in Ireland. But you also had in this country a lot of the Scots-Irish who came here first. So they were settlers who left Scotland and settled in the northern part of Ireland as part of Queen Elizabeth's solution to, the British Empire, kind of solidifying it. Let's send these guys out and sort of plant and gain ground and civilize these cultures, or these native cultures. I did the same thing in Virginia and tried to. Anyway, these Scots-Irish people, they settled in Ireland, Northern Ireland, for a while, and then the tax laws and the religious freedom laws changed a little bit, and a lot of them came to the U.S. And so you had all these Presbyterians who played fiddles too, and they they played a lot of the same reels and jigs that the Irish people played, and a little bit different style, I suppose. But that music was probably here. And when the famine, you know, when the famine happened in 1840s, those Scots-Irish had been here for 100 years, a lot of them, and they were already changing the music probably. Then with the United States, you had the black influence, the African influence with the banjo and with the rhythm. And apparently, up until about 1920 or so, the black fiddler was a really important part of the Southern music scene and the entertainment scene. Played for dances, played for people just for entertainment, apparently. And so that whole thing really would have changed the music a good bit. But I think, you know, these things don't really exist in a vacuum. I think for a while it did. Nowadays, when you hear Irish music, you hear a lot of rock and roll influences in the backbeat, on the backing, you know, on the instrumental backing behind the fiddlers and instrumental soloists. So it just kind of keeps coming, feeding back on itself, the influences.
Hey, Tim?
Yeah.
Kevin's been delayed, but I was looking at his website, and yeah. And I was looking at his website, and he did talk a little bit about, on one of his pages, about the ornamentation of the notes by the Irish. And so can you demonstrate, if you've noticed it, can you demonstrate
how that... I've been trying to stall, because Kevin's the guy
maybe
who really knows it. But
I'll
talk a little bit about ornamentation and stuff. And like in that song, that tune, McLeod's Reel, doo-da-da-loo. Like that note right there, that B note, you might play, like an American fiddler might play, you know, ornament that longer note a little bit, play notes on either side of it, or in Ireland, the style is to sort of take that, they might do what I just attempted to do, but they also might play like a five note roll. So you got a note either one step above it on the scale or two steps real fast. It's almost like you left-hand pizzicato. So you hit the first note up and then back down, then the note below it. That's one way. You can also do it four notes. I mean, you can start with a note above. So that goes in the space of a quarter note. Da, 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 da. It's the pipers do a different kind of thing. But the five note roll, kind of played on the flute and the fiddle and the pipes, and I think some accordion players play it. I'm not sure. That's one. And then there's sort of the triplet, bow triplet. That kind of thing. I don't know how to do that. So I'm waiting for Mr. Burke to show up, who's been delayed.
He's been delayed.
So, there's some ornaments, like in a jig, when you play it in 6/8, I'm a little more versed in how to work those things in. So when you have you could also play, instead of, you know, that's, you're basically taking da, do, 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 da, that first note, and you're ornamenting it by going, playing a note below it and then back up to it. You can also play the five note roll. Kind of ornamenting that G note and the B note a lot. I don't know how to do the triplet thing. It's just alien to me. But the triplet, bowed triplet, and the five-note roll are kind of the main deals. Stage diver. Mary Dobb, give her a hand. She can dodge any stage in this this festival grounds.
Tim, do you know what a carfibble is?
A carfiddle?
A carfibble?
No.
It's a phrase that Kevin Burke was talking about. He said that they have their own language when they're talking about music. He even said that people like, they'll say, if you're playing, they'll say, okay, kick it down the hall. Have you ever heard that?
No, I don't know what that. That sounds like take it home, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that end it? That means end it?
What's that?
Does that mean end it?
I don't know. He just said that you have to learn a whole new language. Is that your experience when you're playing in Ireland?
Well, I find that there is a different language and there's a different... there's a whole different vocabulary. You're right. And oftentimes the same word will mean a different thing to people on either side. we're separated by a common language for sure. It happens with people from all the English-speaking world. You know that. Let's take a question back here. Yeah, that song. With Miss McLeod's reel, it's sometimes called. Did you ever go to meet Uncle Joe? Don't mind the weather when the wind don't blow. Hop high, ladies, another hop high, ladies, two in a row. Hop high, ladies, two in a row. Don't mind the weather when the wind don't blow. But what was the other rest of the question? Yeah, the bluegrass and old-time players put a lot of importance on the drone and on double stops, and I'm not sure why. Irish fiddling is very ornate. There's all that triplets, all those ornaments, and it can get really thick with that stuff. Whereas the real like when you go to the Western style fiddling, well, let's take Bob Wills for instance. His whole thing was very smooth and very long strokes with a bow, and very smooth tone he was after. Whereas the Irish players, a lot of them will go for a real percussive effect. That's shared with the a lot of the Scots players and also the Quebec players. If you hear them, the Cajun players kind of play smoother style, a Western swing, and but yeah, the drones and the double stops. I mean, just you might play it single notes. But I'm always grabbing whatever other notes I can grab. And instead of just playing single notes, I might play. Sort of, do double stops whenever possible, sort of get a bigger sound. It's just, I don't know. Fiddlers do this stuff because they can. It's a question there. So you're saying that the change, the difference would be, you're asking. The way you dance would change, the dances would change the music. And I think, it's different. For instance, in the United States, the hornpipe sort of melded into the reel with the feel. People don't really dance it any differently. They call it a hoedown, a breakdown, or they call it a reel or a hornpipe. It's usually about the same tempo and the same feel. Whereas in Ireland, it would be, a hornpipe would be instead of with a reel. And the jig kind of disappeared for whatever reason. And I don't know, I think one thing that happened is the two-step came in, and, the waltzes and two-step became more popular in dance halls. And particularly the farther west you go, that rules, and it was less. I think the honky tonks kind of ruined probably took a lot of that stuff away. I don't know. Red Knuckles' fault, yeah. Dancing dancing, you know, this music was made for dancing. People are crazy for dancing all over. And in Ireland, people would take lessons from dancing masters. They'd come around for 2 weeks, and they would learn set dances with, you know, groups like, you know, line dances and circle dances. And they also learned fancy steps. And so people were crazy for it, and they needed tunes to dance to. And people, the musicians were writing tunes, so there's like gazillions of tunes for people to play to dance to. Let's take a question from this side. No, there's one. A reel and a jig. Well, a reel is in 4 or 2/4. You know, it's an even tempo. Da da do da 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 da. Batman. That's one. No, a reel is an even time. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 1 and 2, and however you count it. Whereas a jig is, well, the reel is like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and da da do da 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 da, or evenly da da do da 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 da. You know, you can accent the first note da da do da 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 da. That's kind of a hornpipe. Da da do da 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 da. The first of two evenly would be a reel. Da da do da 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 da. Every beat on a jig would be divided in three. Da 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 do da 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 da. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It's in 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's really 2 beat. 1, 2, 2, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. Like that. So that's a jig. Some jigs are in 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. 1 and 2 and 3. Like that. Some are in 12. That gets back into like 4, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and a. But it's funny that way. But the jig kind of went away. I don't know what in the United States. Play them all, okay. I'll play another. I'll try to play a jig for you. Yeah. I'll do it. I guess it's a double jig. It's in 6, and then I'll do 1 and 9. I don't remember what the first one's called. The second one is called Hardy Man the Fiddler.